What's up, New England and beyond? Jeff Clark and Steve Domenico in the room podcast. Running a few minutes late because my computer decided to download and reboot itself when I was just about going live. So, Jeff, thanks for patiently waiting for me. But, man, welcome to the show, man. I usually have Tommy in the co-seat there, but he couldn't make it tonight. So, Jeff, I called you last minute to come on for a few minutes and just talk about the Cage Titans card a little bit. A couple of weeks ago and what stood out for you. But first of all, how was your weekend, bro?
Oh, it was great. It was great, as always. Yeah, had a good time, and Cage Titans delivered as they always do.
Excellent. As we're live right now, Jake Caskey, I'm going to have to go 5 minutes later with you because we got a little late stop, but you're watching, so I'll hit you up on my messenger when we're ready to go. But it'll only be 5 minutes longer. But nothing... Any Cowboys, any kind of wrestling going on this weekend? Nothing?
No, nothing like that. No PBR. They're all done for local areas. And but I did find some rodeos, which I guess are pretty close to you guys. Tommy said, I like the rodeo or some bull riding thing on Facebook. And he commented it's like the next town over from him. They do it every month, so we got to go.
Is it Mansfield, or do you know Foxborough?
I don't know. I'll send it to you, but it's definitely like a Western-style event, and Tommy seems like he's down, so let's go.
Excellent. I'm in. If it's near Tommy, Tommy's like 25 minutes from here, so it can only be like 30, 35 minutes, so that's doable.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, nothing like that. This weekend's exciting, though. UFC 300.
Excellent, my man. Yeah, big things on that card. But let's talk about the Cage Titan thing. What stood out there for you, Jeff? I had to leave early, as you know. I've already admitted that, but you stayed to the end. What fights out of that stood out to you, and you know, that kind of burned in your mind?
I mean, so many different fights that had their own unique things. Like starting off earlier in the card, Julian Menjivar. His striking at the end to finish that fight was amazing. He looked super impressive. I'd say the Chris Makate fight, I think that's how you say his last name, and Jay Perrin, that was, you know, very highly contested. Everyone thought it was going to be even closer, but Chris just had answers for everything. I mean, Chris just came out of nowhere. Actually, it was a rough night, I feel like, for a lot of favorites. Like, Chris came through, beat Jay. Johnny Campbell lost to Jay Presley. I think a lot of people expected Campbell to win that. You know, nothing against Presley, but the experience was there.
Excellent.
So,
yeah. And to get back at Julian Menjivar, I was speaking about him when he was just about walking into the cage, how he's an undersized flyweight. He's really, you know, a 115 pounder, and they're thinking about sending him to one because he's undersized, but it didn't show that way, you know, at Cage Titan 64. The kid's got definite hands, and he can handle himself on the ground. But, you know, he needs to pack on a little weight to stay in that 125-pound division.
Yeah, I agree. And he definitely held his own. That was a tough fight for him. It looked like Jake actually had him for a little bit. And then, Julian just came through and crushed it.
And as far as the Jay Perrin fight, Jay Perrin just looked a half of a weight class smaller than that dude. You know what I mean? That guy was huge in there.
Yeah. He was definitely stacked. And maybe he has the weight cutting down where he can gain a lot back the next day. And then maybe he was bigger. But he just seemed to have an answer for everything. And I don't know. I'd like to see him back in the area. Hopefully he comes back out to the East Coast.
Well, I'm sure he had a good time here, and he did beat Jay Perrin, who was a former UFC fighter, former Cage Titans and CES Bantamweight champion. Jay did mention going back to Bantamweight, and he did mention, as we interviewed, you know, the featherweight division was there for him because the new baby, and he wanted to enjoy himself for a little while. But it looks like Jay's ready to get back to business and back to his natural class of 135.
I'd like to see him back there. One, it's big. 10 pounds is a lot. I don't know. You know, a lot of people don't watch MMA, don't realize how much 10 pounds doesn't make a difference. So, yeah, I'd like to see him back down there.
Slippery Pete had an amazing finish, front choke there that had the crowd going. It was basically a walk in the park for him in that fight.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone expected kind of Pete to dominate in that one, and he did. I mean, he showed, you know, he can still bang with anyone. And it's funny because Pete doesn't take easy fights, you know. He takes anybody who'll step in front of him, but he just showed he's a step above Tom. And he's a natural entertainer, man. After he won, you know, posing for the crowd and everything, he's great. I think wherever he goes, he gets the crowd riled up.
And then, of course, you have Jonathan Pierzma that did exactly what he said he would do. He predicted a third round. It was back and forth, though, a little bit in that fight. You know, how much did you enjoy that fight? And what do you see out of Pierzma looking forward in his career?
I thought that fight was awesome. And it's funny because in the beginning, we saw high-level grappling. These guys were trying to slam each other, take each other down, reversing grapples. It was great. And obviously, we got the few fans chanting, stand him up. And we got the other fans chanting, no, he's working his position. So it was great in the beginning. And Everett has power. That dude has been dropping people. So John knew the stand-up, I think, was going to be a challenge. And I think he welcomed it. He fired a friggin' head kick right off the bat. John Pierzma comes out firing a head kick right off the bat. I don't think anyone predicted that. So that was awesome. That was so cool.
Well, one thing we know, John, you know, his last loss, he actually got caught with a head kick. So maybe he was just trying to get that out of Everett's mind in the beginning.
Yeah. Don't plan on doing that. And it was great. He caught him with his foot, too. If he was a little closer, that might have been an earlier fight, but Everett was great. When he picked up John and you thought he was going to slam him down, and then Pierzma, like, I don't even know. He just somehow landed on his legs, like, fine. The grappling was insane. Super impressive. And I love Pierzma's comments after the fight where he's like, they just keep bringing me out here.
Yeah, I'll just keep making money out here. So, you know, big things for him. I know that, you know, Cage Titans would love to have him back defending that title. And, you know, John did say if they get a matchup for him, he'll gladly come back in May and defend it. And, I don't know, I don't know who was looking to get in the cage with him, but, you know, it's going to be a big task for anybody at this point.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if he wants to defend the title, I think Cage Titans is one hell of a place to fight and defend it and put on a show. And their social media, the marketing's amazing. Like, they get the name of the fighters out there. So that's one hell of a place to fight for. But, damn, I'd love to see him get, like, a contender series shot, too. I'd love to see him go in there, take someone down, just crush him with elbows on a contender series. So,
well, I'll say...
Whatever. If he doesn't make it the next one, he'll make it the one after.
Well, I'll say one thing. If he doesn't fight on this card or the next or in New England soon, I think there must be chattering going on in the back because he really wants to get in that cage quick. So if we don't see John Pierzma in the cage quick, there's some beans being to be spilt in the future. So we'll see. Another fight, we'll go back to the amateurs because we do have an amateur on tonight who had, I would say, the knockout of the night, one of the knockouts of the year because he put his opponent out cold in Jake Caskey. Man, that was a great, great fight. Very, very competitive going against a Lauzon kid. I think his last name's Kennedy. And, man, that was a great fight. And I'm glad to, you know, have Jake on tonight and talk about it.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome fight. That's going to be an awesome interview because that fight was awesome. Jake came out, got the crowd riled up. And after the KO, what was he saying to the crowd? Wasn't he saying something?
He was mentioning how he, where is it? Over there? I don't know. Let me get that. He was mentioning that he would take on any 145-pounder anywhere. I don't know exact the words, but he was getting booed, I do believe, when he was saying
it. I feel like the crowd, but I love it. Like, either way, you know, if your crowd boos you or cheers for you, at least they're not just silent. So that was awesome. It was a great after you know, post-fight speech.
And the thing about him, I mean, Jake only fights beasts, and he's always the outsider coming in with the biker gang from Dexter's in Connecticut coming down. So he's taking on nothing but beasts. He won two fights in a row. His last loss was against Mike Antidormi, who is now, I think, a 2-0 pro, and the former reality 145-pound amateur champ. So he's taking on some hard talent. And I would imagine this is probably going to be his last amateur fight whenever it happens. If it doesn't happen soon, I see him going pro, you know, after the summer if he can't get a fight.
Yeah, I thought this was a great night for him. This was actually his first win by stoppage as well. His last two victories did come by decision. So it must have been just such a thrill for him. And I think he definitely made everybody, you know his name at the end of that night. So we'll see who steps up. I think him versus anyone back in that cage, Sider's cage, would be awesome.
Yeah, excellent. As we saw, Billy Goff was in the crowd in his corner, as always. And those guys almost, you know, almost tackled me in the back room as we were trying to escape during intermission to get some air. The whole biker gang was back there. And then there was some other guys from upstairs, fighters coming down. It was just like a whole gang in that little hallway. It was pretty intense.
Yeah. No, they definitely rolled deep, which is great. A great group of guys. And Billy Goff and being there was awesome.
Jeff, last couple of things. Did you go to the after party after?
I did for a little bit, yes.
Were you coherent when you were at the after party?
I was. There was a good 45 minutes during the night I wasn't. But then after that, I came back too. You know, the edible wore off a little bit. And I was right back to it. But I definitely missed a fight or two, but it was a good night. It was a great night.
Yeah, Jeff, I had to repeat myself several times with you before I left. Jeff, it was pretty.
Yeah, there was a moment there where, you know, it was an interesting night, but I pulled through.
Excellent.
But the after party was awesome. If anybody has not been to the after party, go. It's so cool, especially for the fans. They get to mingle with some fighters that they normally wouldn't get a chance to meet or take a photo with. Or just see the fighter outside of the cage. You know, they're laughing, they're enjoying their time. You get to see who they trained with, or they talk with. It's cool. It's a good time.
Excellent. Jeff, some other cards are coming up. I just want to end that with you. We'll get another. We'll go over whatever cards are coming up. I'll have you on another Wednesday night before. But are you going to any other events coming up? I think NEF is 420, and then I think Combat Zone or something is right after that. CES, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I would really like to get up to NEF. It is it's right on 420, which you know, is like a holiday for people who enjoy cannabis. So it is a great time to throw an event. And it's called Up in Smoke, which is just hilarious. I mean, great marketed. I love it. It is way up in Bangor. You know, Bangor is nice this time of year. It's beautiful. It's blossoming, you know, the plants and everything coming in. But, yeah. Have you ever made it to a Bangor card?
I have been to Bangor, and it was a drive and a half. I should have just went to Canada while I was there. You know what I mean? It was like a 6.5-hour drive. I've never saw a moose before until I fucking went up to fucking Bangor. I was like, what the fuck is going on? Where am I? I lost like my service on my phone for like an hour. I was like, where am I?
Yeah. It's definitely a unique place, but when NEF goes to town, they definitely run that town. And we'll definitely talk more about that at some point, but I do just want to mention real quick, on that card, they're going to have Ryan Sanders, they're going to have Kyle Hill, Lori Watson, Aaron Lacey, Cam Arnold. So they are stacking the card. They're making it worth the drive.
Excellent. And a couple of those names right there, I would love to see come down to Cage Titans and mix it up with some of the South Coast people. But you know what I mean? We'll see. We'll have a cross promotion someday with those two, because they're always bickering at each other, the fighters from each side there. So it's pretty cool. Jeff,
I know.
Last thing before I leave you off, anything planned for the, you know, next weekend or whatever, or anything going on with you?
No, nothing really. UFC 300 this weekend. Just planning on going over some buddies and watching the fights. You know, I used to go to the bars and watch them all the time with buddies, but there's, you know, the bars are shit show to watch fights at. So, It's always better just going to a buddy's and watching it.
Excellent, man. Toilets right there, plenty of beer, no waiting. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. With that said, Jeff, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to get to Jake Caskey now and talk to him about his fight. And then Mike Pulvere, we're going to get him on. So thanks a lot, Jeff, for starting the show with me and filling in some dead air that I probably would have had.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And anytime, I appreciate the opportunity to jump on for a few minutes.
All right, my man. You have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Have a good one.
Later. Jeff Clark right there. Let me get to Jake Caskey right now. He should be. Jake, if you're out there, let's talk. Let me get to him. There you are. Right there. So Jeff Clark, as you know, does work for New England MMA. And does a great job for them. He's like the only guy kind of left doing play-by-play for them. And he was trying to get through it on Saturday at Cage Titan 64. It was pretty tough when he was on a couple of edibles and, some of those really great lagers that they got there. So his Jake Caskey is ready to go. Let me give him a call and I'll get him in the box. What's up, my man? How you doing, brother?
Steve, how we doing?
Look
dude?
At you. What are you hunting? What's going on with you?
No, dude. I'm just I'm cozy. That's what I am. I woke up from nap, dude. I'm cozy.
You mentioned that you had a nice nap, you're ready to go. Is that something you usually do during the day? You have a nap?
No, never. Never ever. I go to work, I do landscaping all day, and then I come home, hit my workouts, and go to practice. But having a nice little layoff here after the fight. So,
well, landscaping at this moment is thriving, brother. Spring is in the air, and you're out there doing them yard cleanups and getting that shit ready, man. How's that? Do you work during the winter too? Do you do some, plowing and stuff?
Well, this year, not much plowing, obviously, but my company will go as late as we can. I got laid off for the winter. It was nice this year. I got to just focus on coaching wrestling. But, the rest of the year we work weather permitting.
Well,
somebody's got to do it, you know?
Exactly. Someone's got to pretty up them yards, brother. And, stuff like that makes houses really pop when you get them lawns going, man. So you guys are really, really in need and glad to see it, bro. You're out on the outside, too. So what's better than that?
Getting paid to work out and be outside, man. Trust me, It was a choice to go back to manual labor. I tried the indoor routine and I was losing my mind, so I had to go back and play in the dirt, dude.
Excellent. And it's kind of a little cardio out there too, while you're in camp and stuff like that, running around with lawnmowers and weed whackers and shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, my man, let's talk about it. First of all, where we about a week and a half removed from this huge win of yours, a viral knockout, man. How you feeling about the fight after, a week and a half getting absorbed it?
Oh, man. What a crazy feeling, huh? Just a fucking emotional roller coaster, the highs and the lows. Like, it is so hard to explain to people, the feeling in that. Because everybody wants to know, knocked him out, what'd it feel like? It's so hard to put into words that feeling. It's just like the culmination of all that hard work and everything coming to fruition, And I never go into of course you go into the fight and you're like, oh, I hope I knock this guy out in one shot. But like who I am, I never really expect that, And so I'm always ready for that 3-round fight. And particularly in this fight, like when they had split us right before the knockout happened, they had split us to put his mouthpiece back in. And I was having one of those moments where I walked away and like hands on my hips and basically like a gut check and was like, all right, man, like this kid's fucking tough. Like we're going the distance. We're in it for a 3-round war. Buckle up. Like let's go to work. Come back and two punches later, the fight ends. It was just surreal. It was incredible, man.
Now was that something that you saw coming, that you during the fight you timed it, or was that just he made a mistake and you had an opening and boom?
I was definitely setting up a big shot with my body work and you know, the striking leading up to that. But I mean, that's just classic, you know, Team Dexter striking, you know, the stance switch in the middle of a combination. Like, that's our signature stuff, and that shit's hard to deal with, you know.
Now as far as you you know, saying to yourself, you know, during that timeout with the mouthpiece, saying this is definitely going to be a war to the end.
Yeah.
During that round, you know, the break in there, what was your corner saying to you as far as the fight, and what you needed to do in there?
When I got to the corner, it was a lot of, you know, keep doing the same, find, you know, a lot of focus on my breathing. We were so big about that this camp, you know, staying grounded and staying present. 'Cause that's been, you know, for me, that's been one of the biggest hurdles with fighting is handling the nerves on fight night and bringing my best package into the cage, you know, not just, okay, we're here to fight, let's brawl, you know? So just keeping me calm, focus on my breathing, getting back to work, pumping the jab, circling. I was standing in front of them a little too much. That was one of the big things that they wanted me to do more. But, you know, I knew coming into it, I mean, Ryan Kennedy, what a fucking warrior. And he comes out of Lozon's, right? So we know he's well prepared. I knew that I was in for a tough fight, and man, he brought it to me. So,
dude,
in between rounds was just kind of, hey, more of the same.
It seems like that's all you had in your career so far are tough fights and tough opponents. Before, you know, we talk about, you know, after the fight and after, you know, your hand was raised, you know, you mentioned the roller coaster emotions, you know, that this game plays. Jake, the first time I was there in your amateur debut against Walsh there, great kid, great, coming out of Lozon's, another Lozon's kid, right?
That's fun, dude.
So I was there with you, and I really didn't know you much. You know, I knew from you from Dexter's, you know, I knew Billy and Austin and all them from there. And, you know, after the fight, I saw you at the after party. And, you know, you came up to me out of the blue, and you were, like, apologizing to me that you didn't perform. You know, like, you did. I was like, what the fuck? Like, dude, you just went into a war. It was your first fight. And, you know, talk about that emotion to the emotion where you, you know, you got that knockout and two fight winning streak, fought nothing but monsters. And you're ready for, you know, the best of the best at 145 at this point. So what was the difference in the emotions from that first fight and loss to this one?
Oh, my goodness. I think probably every fighter would say the same, you know, anytime that you come off a loss, and particularly like early on in the career, there's doubt. Like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, I say I want this life. Do I really want this life? And, you know, looking back on the journey that I've been on, even just in amateurs, and seeing where I'm at now and how I'm able to fight now and the quality that I'm putting out is just awesome to look back and reflect on. Like, I put a ton of pressure on myself for these fights, and I think, you know, most fighters would, you know, it takes a certain kind of guy to do this. So this fight, I was able to kind of remove some of that pressure off myself because I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do. And if the best version of me shows up, I mean, I look at some of the pro featherweights in New England and I'm right there with them in my mind. So this fight, being able to remove some of that pressure and just resign myself to the fact of, like, hey, you know, you might get knocked out. He might put you to sleep. Like, I knew he wanted to come in and jump us up. He might put you to sleep. And being okay with that and understanding that, you know, after the fight, win, lose, or draw, everyone, you know, your family's still your family. Your boys are still your boys. Everybody's still going to love you. That kind of thing. Making peace with that. That's been so huge moving through my career here.
Excellent. Well, you had another teammate in there start off the card with a KO of himself, TKO of himself, a great, great fight, competitive
dude.
Fight against another tough kid from Lowe's, from a Triforce. You know what I mean? So, man, talk about that, having one of your trainer partners who's, you know, just getting in there, and he puts on a show to start the card.
Dude, that was awesome. And it's so funny. Dude, he grabbed him by the throat and punched him out for the finish. Like, he did the Khabib rape choke and punched him out. Billy and I talk about that all the time, about, like, that is the sickest highlight. Like, we got to get a highlight where you're choking a guy out and punching him out. And, dude, Eric Zane, the monster, goes out and does it in his first fight. That shit was awesome.
Where the hell did he come out of? Like, where'd he come from? Like, you're pooping him out of Dexter's there. Where are these people coming from?
Dude, Dexter is like a magnet just for fucking hard-nosed, tough, gritty wrestlers. And he'll take them and turn them into a killer. So.
Excellent.
No short supply.
Well, you get your hand raised in there, buddy. And, you know, you get on the mic. And, You know, you guys are always the outsiders coming in, but you're well loved, well taken in. But it just, you just hoping that you happen to fight the guy that, you know, lives in Memorial Hall.
Right.
You know,
right.
On the mic there, you basically called anyone out at the 145 pound division. Are you looking for one more fight at featherweight? Maybe a title fight? Like, what are you looking for? And, you know, who are you looking for if you're looking for anyone in particular?
Definitely. So the plan was always before this one, you know, the plan was always this one and then probably one more before pro. Definitely we're looking at pro by the end of the year. But now, you know, the position I'm in coming off of this win and just looking at, you know, the current state of the, you know, Cage Titans division and even just amateurs in New England, it's like, you know, I should be fighting for a title. So in my eyes, I'll collect the belt and we'll go pro, you know, maybe defend once, maybe, probably not. Just get the belt, get some hardware, go pro. And like you said, man, I've only fought killers. Like, that's not going to change. So I'm already going into pro with like 30 something minutes of cage time against tough competitors, guys trying to kill me. So I feel good going pro, and it's definitely coming soon. But yeah, man, I want this AMI belt.
Excellent.
Nobody in particular. All right. Honestly, and that's the thing, is like, there are some guys that I look around at and I'm like, yeah, you know, you're deserving of a shot. Yeah, you would be a fun fight. Of course, I look around and there's a ton of fun fights. But like, what? I'm going to say one guy's name. I'm going to say, oh, I think it should be XYZ. And then you're going to have Joe Schmo from down the block pop up out of the cornfield like, oh, he didn't say my name. He's scared to fight me. Like, you know, that's why I put my challenge out there. You guys heard it on the mic. Any of you motherfuckers at 145 thinks that you can take this, you can step in and make your case known. Hit up Mike Pulver. He'll be on here next. You can let him know. We'll set it up.
Well, as you're speaking, Mike Pulver is on here, and he just made a comment. He just says, you got that title in July.
Absolutely. And that's the perfect timeline. You know, I know they've got their May card, but Billy's got his UFC fight night on May 11th. And I'm going to be flying out there with him. So it'd be nice to do it in July, not interrupt my camp. That way I get a nice full camp.
Excellent. That was going to be my next thing. I was going to say, I doubt you're going to be fighting in May, especially for a title with Billy's fight coming up so soon. Is this year going to be your first time going to one of his, going to his UFC fight? Or this is his first one, but you didn't go to Contender or anything like that, right?
No, I didn't go to Contender, and I definitely didn't go to Singapore. So, yeah, no way.
Well, talk about it, man. How excited are you to, are you going to be in the corner? Or you're just going as helping out the team.
Going out to help corner. Dude, I'm looking forward to it. Billy is, you know, he's one of those guys that you might not hear about him a lot. You know, he might not be all over social media, but that guy is always fucking working. And not just working, he's improving, you know. You see it day in and day out in the gym, just the discipline, just how he carries himself and the work that he puts in. And, man, I think we're going to see another evolution in Billy Goff when it comes time for his fight night.
Well, one thing I have to, I'm going to be interviewing Billy on Tuesday about it, you know, getting his take on his matchup and stuff. But one thing I have to say, Dexter's got that one guy in the UFC, and that one guy to me is probably going to be the guy that goes the farthest or, you know, close to the farthest of any fighter in New England, I think, that's made it to the UFC. I mean, we're talking, you know, Joe Lauzon in the Hall of Fame. You got some other fighters there, Rob Font, Calvin Kattar, that have done amazing things. But I think Billy Goff could be the face of the UFC someday. You know, yeah. He's only, what, 25, 26 years old. He's a killer, fought nothing but killers. And Dexter's really got that kid, you know, believing that he's going to be the champion someday, and he's got the skill to do it. So that's the kid that's going to take us out of the fucking the mud here as far as getting wins in the UFC.
Absolutely, man. I agree. And you know what? And it boils down to Dexter's coaching as a whole. It is 100% Dexter and how he raises us through our careers, the guys that he makes us fight, the things that he makes us do, you know, before he moves you to that next step. And that's the secret ingredient, you know, right there is Mike Dexter.
Excellent, my man. Well, Jake, awesome catching up with you. Like I said before you came on, we were stepping out to get some air and we ran into the whole Dexter crew in the alley there or in the hallway. And a couple other fights, one of your previous opponents came down and Phil Lacigno.
Phil Lacigno, yeah.
So that was a pretty cool moment to run into all you guys, man. And, you know, after you just had the knockout of the night, maybe the knockout of the year.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, the biker gang's always rolling deep. And of course, dude, we see you, man, and we love you. We appreciate all that you do for the sport. So anytime we run into you, we know it's a good time.
Excellent, my man. Excellent. Well, good luck on Billy's fight. I'll be talking to him Tuesday. I'm sure he'll be mentioning your name and that. And we'll definitely be watching him get that win for the UFC and take us out of the mud here as far as wins and fighters from New England and stuff.
Absolutely, dude.
Last thing, Jake, any social media you want to throw out there beside, I got your Instagram up here, but if you have a TikTok, you know, you have the team page, anything you want to send out there, throw it out there, and I'll let you enjoy your night.
Yeah, give me a follow on Instagram, Jake_Kasky. Follow the team page. You'll see my journey and Billy Goff's and the rest of them, the team page at Team Dexter Valley Tudo. We've got a couple guys fighting on 420 at Reality. We've got Austin Shala making his long-awaited pro debut. Dude, I know you're fucking pumped for that, yes, man. Austin's about to put elbows through somebody's teeth, dude. I'm so excited. And then we've got another kid, Jared Sweet. He's 18 years old, dude, another killer. He's going to be making his AMI debut at Reality. I might
have to get a media credential for that one. Go check that out. You know what I mean?
It's going to be a great, great night. Austin, we all know Austin. We know he's a dog. And Jared, man, I'm telling you, this kid is a killer. His name's Jared Sweet, but he is not all that sweet anymore, dude. Not since we got our hands on him, so.
Hey, last thing before I let you go. I mean, everyone, you know, Geraldine's on here talking about, look at the handsome guy there. I have to say, like, I had Tommy on here last week, and he was accusing me of having a Billy Goff man crush, and I'm just going to admit that kid, if he was not a fighter, that guy could be a fucking on the GQ magazine cover everywhere. So that, you know, not only can that kid fight, and that kid is a beautiful man, I have to say.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. He's definitely wife material.
Hey, do you guys still live together or?
No, we had to go off on our own. We're brothers, you know. We would tear each other's heads
off. Too many battles in the living room,
too
right?
Much, break. Too much testosterone.
Yeah, that's what I figure. That's what I figure. Too many holes in the wall. So with that said, Jake, man, I'm gonna get Mike Pulvere on here. Your ears might be ringing then. But a pleasure talking to you, bro. We'll talk on the other side when you get a matchup, and maybe I'll have you and Billy down here after his win in May, and we can talk about that title fight in July.
Definitely.
Yeah. We'll
and before I go, I did just before Mike gets on here. You know, I I reached out personally to all the Cage Titans team, you know, the weekend of the fight and everything. But I wanted to say it on here, man. Like, thank you to Cage Titans and Mike Pulver and that whole production team up there. Like, those guys do so much for us as fighters. And I think, you know, anybody that has fought for them, you hear them say this when they come out. Like, these guys do so much for the sport and for the fighters. And I cannot thank them enough for the way that they treat us and how they make us outside guys feel like we're at home up there. You know, that just, it goes such a long way, and I'm so, so appreciative. So
perfect, yeah. My man.
Fucking perfect. Cage Titans.
And there's hundreds of fighters that think the same way as you that have gone through that cage, brother. So, and there'll be thousands more. So congratulations, yeah. My man, on the biggest win of your career, knockout potential of the year. And, you know, 2-fight winning streak and getting that title fight, it looks like, in July, man. So congratulations, yes, buddy.
Yes, sir. Coming soon.
All right, Jake. I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, brother.
Later.
Good chatting. See ya.
All right. Cool fucking dude. Cool dude, Jake. The whole team there. Let me message Mike Paul there so I can get him on. We're going to try to keep Mike to 15 minutes, people. 15 minutes. We're just going to get a little take of what he thought of his show and maybe some beans about the next show. He just dropped some for July. Let's see if he drops some for May. So let me see if Mike's around. Mike always forgets where I'm calling him from, but home team, Rob Pico, it's my man right there. Looks like Mike be ready. I see his little icon. Is he ready? Yes, he is. Mike Pulver. Here we go. Let's get the boss. The boss. What's up, boss?
What's going on, my man?
How are you, my man? I'm doing well, bro. How are you?
Living the dream. Hey, another
Mike,
day.
Hey, Mike, bring that down a little bit so you get more in the picture.
Is that better?
Oh, perfect. All right. There you go. Now you're good. Right there. Perfect. Hey, Mike, you know, I've been checking out the Cage Titans page. You didn't have a table Titans at all, right, from the last card?
Nah, you know, it's funny. We usually do it Monday, but we always take, we've been taking the week after, the day after the show off and not doing an episode that day. And then this Monday, me, Nick, and Andy got together and we were ready to do Table Titans, but we were like so caught up in like talking about the show off camera and like things that we could improve upon and like things that we were looking at to do for the next show. Then we started talking about matchmaking for May. Next thing you know, it's 9:30 and we're like, wait a minute, we didn't go live. So, unfortunately we did not do a recap show. Hopefully we're going to do one this week. So, on Monday. We'll get one going.
I would have loved to be a fly on the wall there, bro, about what's going on. But I'm sure you can tell us a couple of things about the card coming up. You did mention, Jake, we just had Jay Caskey on, and you just throw out there that you're offering him the title fight in July, and it looks like he's gung-ho about that. Before we get to that, Mike, and any future fights, let's talk about this last card a week and a half ago. Cage Titan 64 did not disappoint. You had a lot of great fighters that have been in that cage doing great things, and they showed again that they're doing great things. Talk about the card and what really stood out to you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, Jake Caskey was just on, so I gotta commend his performance. And not only his performance, it's just like, you know, I tell all the fighters, anybody who will listen, we set the stage. What you do with it from there is totally on you. Like, I promise you, we got cameraman up the ass. Like, we got video, we got photos. We're going to capture whatever you do. But this, we're just setting the stage, and you do something with it. And Caskey goes out, puts on a performance like that. He grabs a mic. He's like, any motherfucker can get it. I want that belt. Like, how do you deny him? And it's just taking what we lay out and just running with it. You know, I've talked about it so many times. Guys like The Party, you know, and things of that nature, like, here's the stage. What are you going to do with it? Yes, it's about the punches and kicks and submissions and takedowns, but it's also about like what you do at your moment that can make you transcend the sport even for, and go further in the sport. So I got to give hats off to him. But overall, I mean, the card from top to bottom, there was no duds on this card. You know, every fight was a banger. You know, obviously the Caskey fight with that huge knockout. And let's not forget that Caskey almost got finished in the first round. So hats off to Ryan Kennedy as well. Like, and Caskey said it best. He fights all killers. So I'm interested. I was really impressed with the way he just kind of took the mic and ran with it. And I loved every moment of it. As for the pros, you know, we going in the dark horse, like sleeper fight, Andy kept talking about was the Congdon versus Watford fight. But I just think that, you know, it ended up, we thought it was going to be a dog fight, like two traditional strikers. But Jack just showed that next level that he is. Like, he just keeps steamrolling guys, you know, undefeated amateur, undefeated pro. Well, I'm interested to see what's next for him. I'll just say it at that. You know, speaking of 170, Piersma just showed he's next level dominant. You know, there was a ton of hype going on at Everett going into that fight. And Piersma had his own hype. You know, let's not like pretend it was one-sided hype. But Piersma just showed he did what he said he was going to do. He was going to take him into deep waters and show Everett that like he is not ready for this level yet. And, you know, hats off to Everett as well. Like, you know, he made it to, I think, the third round.
Yeah.
He'd never been out of the first round. I don't think like in he was 3-0, demolished all his guys. And in this one fight, he doubled his cage time. So I think that was valuable experience for him. But I also think for Everett, the bigger takeaway is that once you get to these next level guys, weight and size matters. And, you know, Everett coming in at 170, walking around, he's a true 55 or so. And Piersma's every bit of 170 or so. I think on Piersma's side, congratulations, won the title. You know, he's shown that he should be looking at the Contender Series, the UFC. You know, if he has to defend that title, obviously he will. He's already reached out to me. He said, I'm not waiting around. I want to just stay active. So we're going to try to put something together for him for May. But yeah, man, that was a great fight. Peter Barrett, like, looked impressive as he always does. You know, that fight I thought was going to be a little bit more difficult for Pete. I'll be honest, you know, going in, Santos was like, I didn't really get a chance to showcase my abilities when he fought DSAB. And in the press conference, through his translator, Bruno, like, he was very vocal. Like, I fought UFC vets. I have a fastest knockout on a UFC vet. Like, he set a record before. But I was really expecting some heavy striking exchange, but Barrett just showed, you know, you don't mess with him, and then he ended up getting the guillotine. I think that was more due to the body shots he was landing, and yeah. So I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, what, let me ask you. I always talk. What about you? What was one that stood out for you?
Well, definitely the Caskey fight right off the bat. A fight that definitely stood out for me as far as strategy and excitement, as far as, you know, just, you know, on the undercard was there was the Valentin fight, the woman's fight there. You had basically a grappler against a striker there, and the grappler, you know, Erica's got hands too, but, you know, she comes out of that, you know, Matt Bissett and underdog. There's a lot of great grapplers out of there, and she just implemented her game plan to stay away from them that distance. And that karate background of Santos there, man, I was very impressed because they're the only females on the card, and they really produced in a three round. Really, you know, Erica dominated on, you know, on the ground and stuff and against the cage, but it was a competitive fight.
Yeah, that was definitely a great fight. I was happy to see Melissa kind of hang in there the whole decision, because remember, you know, Erica was in there. That was her 11th walk to the cage, and that was only Melissa's second. In her first fight, she won in 30 seconds knockout. So I was impressed with Melissa. Two other big fights that were on the main card. I mean, how about Jay Presley coming in and taking out Cupcakes? And this kid, Jay, was so heavily underdog.
Yeah.
Or Johnny was so heavily favored that BetMGM took the odds down. And, you know, I think he was like a whatever minus or plus 1500, something crazy like that. And they took the odds down because he was such an underdog. And then he comes out and puts out a performance like that and gets the finish. Huge kudos to Presley. I look forward to seeing what's next for him, you know, especially at the 35 division. We have a 35 division that's very exciting. You know, you got Valdina. He just took on Cupcakes. Perrin mentioned about dropping back down to 35. The party's always floating around out there. You know, so, you know, there's some good matchups for Jay Presley. And speaking of the Joker, Jay Perrin, I mean, Jay Perrin and Chris Makate. How about Chris Makate coming all the way from California and just putting on a stud performance, you know, improving his record to 7-2, feathering his cap, getting an ex-UFC fighter on his resume. And that was another impressive performance.
Yeah,
so, overall, it was some great fights.
Yeah, and he looked huge in there. I mean, for, you know, that division, Jay mentioning that he's going to go drop down to 135. You know, Jay hung in there, but that guy was just way too big, way too strong, it looked like, for, you know, Jay to handle in there. And kudos for Jay for stepping up again, you know, out of his weight class. But I think it is time for him to go back down and, you know, go for that title again or whatever he needs to do at that at his natural weight.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Jay, you know, going back down to 35, that party fight's always lingering. Maybe Presley, maybe a Cupcakes rematch they were talking about before, you know, or maybe even some new blood coming into Cage Titans. But, you know, I think that we talked about it in the Everett and Pearsma fight, and you just kind of, you know, kind of touched upon it in a roundabout way in the Perrin fight versus Makate. It's like, you can go up a weight class and beat some guys, but when you get to that equal skill level, next level skill level, like, size does matter. Like, you know, you might beat some mediocre guys a weight class above, but then when you start fighting good guys, you need to be in your weight class, because that extra 10 pounds could make all the difference in a fight. So I think Chris Makate is that good next level type guy, and just, you know, Jay couldn't beat 45ers, but that next level type guy, 35 would have to be his weight class, and I think that might help him out with this fight. That's a learning lesson, as it was with Everett. Everett's already hit me up. He did break his orbital, and he's like, but I want it in a May. I'm like, dude, you haven't broken orbital. It's like, few weeks, I'll be right back. And I'm like, maybe the next show. Yeah. But great card.
That's how bad they
think the vibe was great.
That's how bad they want to fight for Cage Titans, Mike. You know, they'll come back. They'll come with broken arms and broken orbitals.
Yeah. But overall, man, it was a great show. Great vibes. It was nice to see Jacobo Oppido get back in the win column. You know, he had that kind of devastating loss to Rob Fuller few years back, and then we never saw him really ever again. And then he popped up with Jeff Perez and training with him, and he made the walk back to the cage, and he got that victory, which was great. And I just love Jacobo because he's such a unique personality. If you follow him on social media, he's a character, and I think he's fun to have around. So I'm excited to see him back. And it was also cool to see Seth with his kid, that feel good moment, though we didn't get the victory. You know, he looked better than he has, you know, in shape wise and mental, he was in a better spot. So we're going to give him another shot next card. He's going to come out this time with his team as opposed to the family business trip. And he's desperate to get that win. So he's going to be firing next time. But overall, great show, man. Ty Law was there. That was a cool thing for some of the older Patriots fans that know who he is. Overall, it was just a great show, and I can't thank the fans and the fighters enough. Really, they really make it.
All right, my man, we got 5 minutes. So in that five minutes, there was a huge announcement made with Jacob Bone and Giannetti. Is that fight going to be in May? Is that
May 25th?
All right. Speaking of that fight, is there any other beans that you could throw out there? Anything in the Rumble? Either one name, anyone looking for fights, anything like that? Is it too early?
It's not too early. Well, I mean, we know that we have the Jacob Bone versus Giannetti too.
Yeah.
We have the Hillary Rose and Katie Perez fight that got moved from last show to this show. Fine. Phil Lucino is making his pro debut on this card at 135. Bruno Diaz and Robert Wustig were going to fight on the last card. They're going to push to this one. So that fight we haven't announced yet, but that's coming down the pipe. Well, or we just announced it here. There you go.
Fucking
What else we got? Looking at the Valdina Gladiator return in May 25th. We're looking at what else? Man, there's a lot of fights.
Well, that's a lot, man. We, you know, you could save some of it for Table Titans.
We're looking at Piersma. We're looking at Miguel Cervesen returning. We're looking at Aaron Shortfuse Hughes returning. We're looking at Jack Congdon, Zach DiSabatino, some amateurs that will get you excited. We got a debut girl coming out of Lausanne's. We might be doing an amateur small glove MMA fight, Muay Thai fight. What else? Jacob Callender will be back. We got some fights.
All right. Last thing. In this little talk at Table Titans, when you didn't go live, you did that. Anything that we should expect different in the show coming up in May, as far as production, media, or anything? You guys all button your heads there. It's almost impossible to think of what else you can do to improve the show because it looks so great. But anything we can look forward to at the May card that might be a little different than this last one?
Nothing yet. I will say this, like, as what drives us is that, like, people are like, dude, that show was great. And if you said you wanted to be a fly on the wall, if you were a fly on the wall, you would think we had the worst show that we've ever had.
Right.
I was kind of giving it to Nick. I was kind of giving it to Andy and just kind of giving it to myself as Cage Titans overall. Like, if you were sitting in that meeting, you'd be like, damn, these guys must be like struggling. And they had to keep reminding me, like, Mike, like, you act like we're trash. And I'm like, I always think we're trash. Yeah. I always want to improve. Like, I don't really think we're trash, but like, I'm always super critical. And, you know, they both were a little defensive at first, but then they started being like, you know what? Like, this is great. And because I never want to come back on Monday morning and be like, yeah, we crushed it. Let's just keep pumping that same product out every time. Like, it's really just an obsession that I have. I've said it to you before, like, no matter what you've done in the past and no matter how successful that playbook might have been, next time you do it, try to come up with something new. Try to come up with changes, tweaks, and you know, so yeah, we were back in the war room and we were, you know, talking about fights that we wanted in the match and talking about different social media tricks and you know, things that we want to cover. I think that you saw some good stuff with us this past show. We added two more photographers to the team. Yep. And they were getting the balcony shots and they were getting the crowd shots. There's nothing really that I guess that I'm ready to like be like, yes, this is what we're doing. There's not like a new light rig that we got come in. There's not like anything like that. It's just more like tightening up and just kind of adding to, you know, little things.
Will Ty Lohr and his vodka or whatever be back at the next show?
He said he had such an amazing time. I don't know if you made it to the after party. If you did, I apologize. I see so many people, but he had a blast and he was like, I'm definitely going to come back again. You know, he was super excited with that. So I think that was a cool thing. And it was really fun. So don't be surprised if you see him as a staple at Cage Titans moving forward.
And that's awesome because when he was mentioning to us when he was outside, when we were getting our credentials, he walked by and we were talking to him. He goes, this is my first MMA show. It's like he'd never been to an MMA event in his life. And here he is at Cage Titans, you know, a staple in New England in Ty Lohr.
Yeah, man, it was very cool. It was cool how that came about too. You know, somebody that did some website work for us also does work for him. And they were like, you guys should collaborate. And they put us together. We had two quick meetings. The first meeting, it was like perfect type meeting. Cause like we were having a talk and we were talking about his vodka. And he's like, yeah, we're the official vodka of Grill 110. And I'm not bullshitting. I was in the parking lot of Grill 110. Cause I pulled off the road to take the conference call and the video call because I didn't want to drive. And I'm like, no joke, Ty. And I hit like switch camera. Yeah. And I'm like, look where we are. And he's like, holy shit. And it was just like, it was just kind of like meant to be.
Yep.
And, you know, at first he was like, well, you don't sell hard liquor. I'm like, no. And I'm like, but trust me, when you come to Cage Titans, when, even without us selling your hard liquor, because we only sell beer and wine, yeah, like, you're going to get the publicity. You're going to get the vibes. And, you know, then a week later, we followed up with him right before the show. And he was like, let's go, man. I got this on my calendar. I'm excited. And then we couldn't get rid of him. Like, he was there all the way to close. And he was having a blast. So, yeah, man, we'll probably see a lot more of him.
Excellent, my man. Well, bro, that's our 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes there. Mike, anything
you want? I love the mat on the wall.
What's that? Oh, you could see different what they can see. What are you looking at? This over here? Or?
Yeah.
From Mikey. Mikey gave that to me when I was at your last Hot Wing Hot Take. So thank you, Michael.
Perfect.
It's a perfect addition to the room podcast wall. But Michael, last question. Tickets going on sale for this next show. Can you give some of that update and when people can expect to kind of see matchups and stuff like that?
Yeah. So this week I kind of honed in on like getting all the names together, and in the next few days I'll be kind of putting the fights together. I already have, I think, six or so pro fights that were ready to drop. I gave you a couple today.
Yep.
So I'm going to say by Monday, you'll see stock matchup cards, posters coming out, and then by mid to late next week, you'll see tickets out. So yeah, that's kind of the playbook. You know, you'll see some fights. I guess this is a good opportunity to plug Coop's Bar and Grill will be doing the UFC 300 watch party this Saturday. So if you're out and about and you want to come hang out with the Cage Titans crew this Saturday, we'll be at Coop's Bar and Grill in Quincy for UFC 300. And if you want to get some matchups, I will give you guys some matchups that I haven't talked about, and possibly the biggest fight that we might be putting on this card we'll have for you on Saturday night. So come on down to Coop's Bar and Grill in Quincy, watch UFC 300, get some inside information. And then the grand prize of that evening, we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets. Every watch party we do like a pick contest, and you get to pick all the winners of the main card, and we give away 4 tickets to the show. So
perfect.
Come on down.
Win-win situation there. Watch the fights for free and try to win some tickets to the fights. Mike, yeah, always a pleasure, man. We'll be tuning.
Thank you.
Definitely be tuning in Monday for the information on the card coming up with the Table All right. Titans. I can't wait to hear like what you guys talk about as far as the last card and what's coming up. But Michael, always a pleasure, man. Great show. And thank you as always for coming on, man.
Hey, thank you so much, Steven. This is the record for the quickest room podcast I've ever done. So thank you for keeping us on time.
All right, my man. You have a good night, and always a pleasure, bro.
Later.
Later. Well, there you go. Mike Pulver in the house. So, man, that was great, man. And when this went by pretty flawlessly tonight, thank God that my computer stayed on track. I don't know how the stream was out there. But this will be on Spotify tomorrow, and I will, as you always, put clips up on Instagram of the fighters and some of the things they said, and maybe some of the beans that Mike had spilled tonight. So thank you, as always, for coming on. Next week, there will be no room podcast. I will be interviewing Billy Goff on Tuesday with a one-on-one, and then Thursday, I will be interviewing Ross Turbo Levine about Karate Combat and what he's looking for next and his journey through that promotion and being there champ. So we will have Ross Levine on here Thursday. These are both going to be pre-recorded interviews, so we will not be going live next week unless Ty Law calls me and wants to come on live. Other than that, we will be taking next Wednesday off. And last thing, there will be a band. I do have a band that I joined, and a lot of details will be coming up in the future, but we will be rehearsing in the room podcast. So this big table right here is going to be gone, and we are actually going to be using just our captain seats, our gaming chairs with the mics and the cameras kind of on tripods. So it's going to be a little different vibe in here, but I think it's going to be a little more laid back, and there's actually going to be a jamming band in here. We're not going to be playing live, of course, on the Room podcast, but this will be a practice band studio for the band that I am getting in and starting to jam with next week. So look forward to that because it's going to be really cool. So with that said, thank you, people. We out of here. See ya.